We find our text in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. In verse 9, the prophet had said to us all, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and who can know it? We find it impossible to know our own hearts. We do not know why we feel the way we do about things. We do not really understand why we respond so abruptly in some situations and so slowly in others. We do not know our hearts. We do not know the extent of what our heart is capable of. The scriptures tell us that the heart is deceitful above all things. There is nothing as deceitful in the world as your heart and mine. We don't even know how deceitful. We know what deceits look like in the world, what it is not like to see somebody being deceitful or even ourselves to be deceitful. But to know that every human heart has this deceit because it comes from the heart. It begins there. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The word desperately means without hope. So bad that there is no hope, or so bad that there's nothing that we can do about it. We're desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What place can there be for pride? Who can know it? We don't understand our own hearts. We can't understand other people's hearts. And that's the reason for our text. We can't do anything. Despite how bad our hearts are. So the only thing that we can say is, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Any anticipation by my heart that I can save myself will lead to disaster, because it will be of the same quality as my deceitful, desperately wicked heart. I cannot save myself. I cannot heal myself. The healing, of course, spoken of here is not physical healing, but the spiritual healing. The spiritual healing, for example, of the man whose heart departs from the Lord, mentioned earlier in the chapter. Blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is, but cursed is the man whose heart departeth from the Lord. Unless the Lord heals us, we cannot be healed. And put positively, it's a wonderful expression. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. And what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary is the effectual calling and the effectual salvation of those who believe in his gospel. We have been healed who believe in him. We have been saved who believe in him. There is no healing for a desperately wicked heart if it doesn't turn to him. There's none other name given among men by which we must be saved. So we cry out, heal me, O Lord. But if we don't, there's no healing. Our hearts remain desperately wicked, and there is no understanding of how wicked they can be. Save me, and I shall be saved. Now, Jesus was speaking in those readings that we were doing to the Pharisees. And he was saying to them that, you see, the Lord made the outside as well as the inside. Because our hearts are desperately wicked, we can put on an act. We can put on a front. We can dress nicely. We can appear smart. We can be very apparently nice and smiling to people. But the Lord knows the heart. And you can't make a difference in his sight between the outside and the inside. What we are is what our desperately wicked heart is, unless it's been made clean. Now, everyone knows the plague of his own heart. There are things in life that we know that we are likely to fall under, and that it is our sin that most often recurs, a besetting sin. And in the case of the Pharisees, it was pride. And it was wanting to appear to be what they weren't. And these are major sins. Let me spell it out to you from what the Lord said to the two men who went into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee prayed thus, and the Bible uses a wonderful expression, as Jesus used it. The Pharisee prayed thus with himself. It wasn't directed at the Lord. It was only an expression of his own quality, as he thought. The Pharisee prayed thus, but it didn't go further than the ceiling. The Lord didn't hear what he heard, but he didn't answer or receive his prayer in any way. And look at the pride here. I thank thee. Does the Lord receive those things? You remember that the Lord wouldn't allow the devils to make known his name, though they did know who he was. It's not very nice to be praised by an evil spirit. I thank thee, he said, that I am not as other men are. What a pride. But you see, it's human heart. There are masses of human hearts all over the world, and ours might be one that is proud of who we are, who look down upon others who do not have the skill, the education, the background, the knowledge that we have. The Pharisees also used to say, thank God I'm not a woman. They'd obviously never read Proverbs 31, because one of the greatest expressions of the glories of a woman is in Proverbs 31, but they kept women under their thumb. But they were like that. I am not as other men are. Well, that would be bad enough. But then he goes through a list of the things that he sees in other people. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And worst of all, he points to the publican over the back there praying. Should have had his eyes closed, shouldn't he? Or even as this publican. The pride of the human heart. The human heart is desperately wicked. Who can know? This man didn't know and understand. It was just him. It was just how he felt about things. It was just the bent of his own heart. And we all of us have wicked hearts. I mean, in some of us, it's like that. In others of us, it is different. Jesus trying to drive home this point, or he succeeds in driving home the point, but he's always on at this point. That lust isn't the committing of lust, but the thinking of it, the looking at someone, thinking those things. But nobody knows you thought that. Nobody sees what you thought or felt, except God. Pride is one of the great, great sins of the wickedness of the human heart. And in this picture, the publican, standing afar off, probably just coming inside the door, wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven, didn't think he was worthy even to look up. Perhaps he felt guilty. Sometimes you say to a child, you know, who you want to give a good talking to, now look at me. Maybe he was ashamed. Maybe he just looked down for that reason. But smote upon his breast, and all he could say is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Too many sins to enumerate, too many awarenesses of the things that he'd actually done. And clearly in the mind of the Pharisee who was observing him, he'd not done those things, but maybe he thought them. But you see, this man who says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, says much the same thing as our text, doesn't he? Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's too deep for me. There are things I don't know about my own nature. There are failings that I have. Be merciful to me. And so it was that the Lord said, this man went down justified to his house rather than the other. And I think that justified has its full meaning here. That it does mean not guilty in the sight of God. That God heard his prayer. That God received his prayer. That God pardoned him. And that he went home a saved sinner. Justified. By grace. So here we have an example of the wickedness of the heart. Who can know it? And there's a long list, if you study Luke 11 that we read together, about the ways in which our hearts may be caught out. We may, for example, in our formality of religion, tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. We might think we go to church every week. We might think that we're good people, better than others, because we go to church. We can be seen to go to church because we dress in a certain way. But we pass over judgment. We don't deal with people fairly. Perhaps we deal with them dishonestly. Perhaps we are not straight with them in many ways. And Jesus' answer was wonderful. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. But he didn't say you should have done that and not the other. He says, these ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. So Jeremiah 17 is a man trying to come to God, trying to come to terms with his own heart in the presence of God. It often worries Christians, and they feel the need of this prayer, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." Because they feel still that there are sins within their hearts. None of us is ever perfect until we reach the glory. And sometimes when there is a repetition of those sins which we've confessed and have longed to be free of, the only thing that we can say to the Lord is, "Heal me. I actually can't get rid of this. I actually can't heal myself of these things." And in some cases we may say, "My heart is desperately wicked. I didn't know that was in me to do this. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed," a Christian even says. "Save me, and I shall be saved," already saved, but rescued from this thing that continually persists in his life. Now, the particular sin spoken of in the early part of Jeremiah 17, another thing that might come out of the inward part of the heart without us really being aware that it's a serious thing. In verse 5, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm." What does all that mean? It's the opposite of trusting in God. Verse 7, "Blessed is that man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Now the nation, there's a lot about the nation as nation. Trusting in Egypt, trusting in Babylon, trusting in Assyria, trusting in Israel to rescue them from all the other people that are against them. But here it's reduced to an individual. There's an individual may not trust God, may prefer to trust man. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Let me illustrate it simply, really. So we're seriously ill, it's just been discovered. We are tempted to trust in man, to go to the doctors, to bank on the surgeons, to trust all these things. You see, and the Bible never teaches that that's wrong. It just teaches that it shouldn't be our first port of call. That first of all, we trust the Lord. And in the sort of emergency like that, or any other emergency, our first thought is the Lord. He is the one that can help me. He's the one who can heal me. He's the one that can make. The Lord has appointed doctors. The Lord has appointed nurses. The Lord has appointed anaesthetists. But they are second causes. Go to the first cause. I often argue about the scriptures that why would anyone want to turn to any other version than the AV? Why do you go to anything inferior when you've got the best? And it's the same principle here. Why go first to the doctor or the surgeon before you go to the Lord? Why go to the second best when you can begin with the best? But so deeply are these things ingrained of us that most of us panic in any situation and pray afterwards. It's just so strange. It's easy, isn't it, to pray. You've done something, you see. Something nice, something good maybe. And then something has cropped up that you'd like to do. So you make a decision to do it, and then in the evening say, Lord, it was wonderful that I had that opportunity. Now, bless the decision I've made. Now, if my children ever came to me and said, I've done this, that, or the other, Dad, is that, will you back me up in this? The answer would be no. It should have come to me first. Maybe I'd have said the same thing, maybe I wouldn't. But you should come to me first. And there's deep down in the human heart, even in our hearts, the desperation not to turn to God, not to turn to Him. Maybe we shall follow it up quickly and need to apologize to the Lord, say, oh, Lord, I forgot. I'm only illustrating how ingrained any of the sins of the heart are. We've looked at being one thing inwardly and another thing outwardly. We've looked at thinking of ourselves better than another. And we thought of trusting in man rather than in God. These things are in all our hearts to some measure or another. But we all need to be praying at all times, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. For we do need healing that we can't give ourselves. Can't give ourselves because we don't know exactly what the situation with our heart is, what it's capable of, what it'll come out with next, what we'll think. I think, I don't understand it, but I think this is what you see when you see someone, a Christian, a lovely person, spent all their lives lovely and in a nice way. And now they become mentally ill in their old age and start swearing, start using words of which we all would be ashamed, and they'd be horrified to know they could do it. But it's there. And once the discipline of the mind, which has now gone from them, once the discipline of the mind is not there to govern it, the heart just comes out with the things that by nature it is. I don't know how it works. Very difficult to try and understand. But I think it lies along those lines, that there are depths of the human heart that we cannot know even in our own heart. And therefore we are safest when we turn to the Lord first and foremost, if need be, turn to the Lord alone, but first and foremost. As I've often told you, there are doctors of the second causes, tablets which have been invented to the third causes. That's fine, provided you take them in that order. But because we do not know what's in us, we need to pray to the Lord to heal us. And of course, if He heals us, then we shall be healed. And if He saves us from these things, I mean, we're already saved. If He saves us, we shall be saved. For He is my praise, or Thou art my praise. He's jumped a conclusion there, hasn't he? What would you expect him to say? Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my hope. That's what I think you might expect, something like that. But when the Lord has answered prayer, oh, then the heart will praise. Instead of being so desperately wicked, it'll turn to the right way. So he's jumped a stage in the argument there. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise. The Lord, in this passage, says that He searches the heart. He knows what to look for. And why is he looking for it? Not because he's lost something, but because he wants to show us, to reveal to us what's locked away in the shed of our hearts. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. It's the renal department in hospital. The reins are the kidneys, I think, or the liver, they're the kidneys. So, but it stands for the most important part. Often the word Bible uses the word heart, but in some situations to describe the central core of the body, it uses the word reins, the kidney standing for any central part of the body. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try, I examine, I search out the things that aren't right to remove them. I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. Just like we saw in this morning, if we live according to our ways, we shall fail. We live according to our ways and never come to the Lord for salvation, we shall enter into eternal fire. The Lord gives us according to our ways and according to the fruit of our doings. But there's nothing good there. When he tries the reins, when he searches the heart, he finds the things that we're not aware of and the things that are deep down in human nature. The salvation of the Lord is a wonderful thing. Verse 12 says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. He has in mind here the great white throne of which we spoke this morning. It's the throne of the Lord's glory. It is high, and it's been there all the time. All that forsake Christ shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth. That's not in the book of life. Because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Come to the Lord. And then when you've come to the Lord, seek him first, put him first. And then we'll know a little bit about the Lord's healing and the Lord's salvation. And it will be the Lord's healing. Heal me. And when you've done that, I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. The result of which I will praise thee. These are very deep things. And we look to the Lord alone, that he will save our hearts and keep us faithful to him throughout our lives. Amen. Amen. And we sing together the hymn number 6.